we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Friday, Brevard County. Thanks for tuning in today. I promise that this is the last time that you are going to hear me invite you to our 65th anniversary service. You know, but don't look now. Christmas is right around the corner, so it won't be long. We'll be inviting you to the 66th anniversary service or what. So Jerry Hill's going to be with us tomorrow night, 6:30 p.m. We are going to have a great time of worship and praise, and we're going to have a great time around the altars worshiping God. And I want to invite you to come and be a part of that, 6:30 p.m. tomorrow night, June the 10th, Saturday night. And we don't have a clock set on it. We're just going to come and worship God and experience His goodness and His grace. And Sunday morning, 10:30, we're going to be back and we're going to be worshiping all over again. Jerry Hill, she's got a testimony that I don't have. I never got involved in some of the things that God delivered her from. And I think that's one of the great things about God's grace is all of us have a customized relationship with the grace of God. And no matter where you were, whether your grave was a shallow grave or whether it was a professionally dug grave, God's arm was not too short to reach down into the miry clay and into the pit and pull us out of the misery and the muck and the mire of life. And so we're going to come and celebrate what God has done, and she's going to be sharing the word. We're looking forward to a great time in God's presence and want to invite you to come and be a part of that. We do want to say thank you to Jits Concrete today. And thank them for all that they do for Merritt Assembly of God. They help us with some of the expenses of this radio program. And if you would like to join them, you can make a donation online at merrittassembly.com, or you can mail a check to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. That's 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. We are thankful. We will bring this radio program to you as long as it is possible. But do know it's not without expense. And so if you'd like to be a blessing in that area, we would be most appreciative. So Jits Concrete, if you need any help with block or concrete work, you can give Greg a call, 321-536-5804. I tell people that's one of my favorite American philosophers is Clint Eastwood, who said, a man's got to know his limitations. As from an old movie, it's not a good movie. It's a Dirty Harry movie, but a man's got to know his limitations. And I do know this. I don't know how to lay block, and I don't know how to do much in the way of concrete work, but the folks at Jits Concrete do. And if you have need of them, don't make a structural error. Call the professionals at Jits Concrete, and they will fix you up. So we're going to get back to Isaiah chapter 65. We're going to try and finish this chapter today and then move on to Isaiah chapter 66 next week. So let me begin reading at verse number 17. It says, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in what I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem as a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. The voice of weeping shall no longer be heard in her, nor the voice of crying. No more shall an infant from there live but a few days, nor an old man who has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. That's where we ended on yesterday's broadcast. Verse number 23. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb together shall feed together. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. So there are four more characteristics of this new creation that God is prophesying through Isaiah about. And the first one is that you and I will have blessed descendants, that we will descend from people who were blessed, and our descendants after us will be blessed. And so I've told you that my goal, my desire for my kids is that they would be more effective for the kingdom of God than I have been. And I am so thankful for them. All of them are gifted. My son is tremendously talented. My daughter-in-law is talented. Both of my daughters are talented. And I am convinced that my grandchildren, under the supervision and the care of their parents, are going to grow up to be the blessed of the Lord as well. Now, you need to understand that there are times in our current culture where the enemy will try and come and steal that blessing. He is a thief. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. But I am thankful that you and I can stand upon the promises of God and believe that God, it said, you are going to bring forth children. It's not going to be, they're not going to be problem children. They're not going to be problem grandchildren. But instead, they are going to be the blessed of the Lord. Hallelujah. See, God blesses and he adds no sorrow to it. So I pray that you and I, that we would raise our children. Beth Moore said something recently, and I may not get this exactly right. She said, are you more interested in your child's success or in their holiness? You see, because if I can train my children in the ways of God so that they understand the principles of God and the leadership of God, God's going to honor them and he is going to bless them. And I pray that it is an increasing anointing, not a diminishing anointing. And so I pray that all of us, we would realize what a treasure that we have, what a blessing we have, in that our offspring are blessed. Don't have the attitude that children are an inconvenience. Recognize that they are the heritage of the people of God. And I pray that we would realize that training those kids and those grandkids up in the ways of God is of greater value than leaving a monetary inheritance to them. I know a lot of rich and famous people who are not happy. They're miserable because they don't know the ways of God. And so I pray that all of us will get to enjoy watching what God does in the lives of our kids and our grandchildren as they are the blessed of the Lord. So that's a pretty good inheritance. I don't know about you, but I see a lot of things around that are going on with kids that are aging that it causes me to scratch my head. There are a lot of things I don't understand. Why would you want to do that? And I was told this. The reason that people do that is so that people like me will ask, why did you do that? That's literally what I was told, that their motivation is just to pique the curiosity and spark a conversation, and it doesn't really have a lot of intention behind it other than just that. So verse number 24, what a great promise. In this new creation, this new heavens, and this new earth, it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear. God says that he is going to know what we have need of before we even ask. And so I've gotten written down here that in this new heaven and new earth, that there is going to be amazing relationship with God. Your communication with God is going to be absolutely marvelous. I call my office manager, Radar O'Reilly, from if you ever remembered the MASH television series, how Radar always knew what his commander wanted before the commander ever said that. And so that's the way my office manager is. Either that or I'm just slow. But here a little over a week ago, she had come in to work, and there was an appointment that was going to be in just a little bit. And so I asked her if I should get that, and she was bringing me what I had asked for. And then I told her why I was asking. She just got a smile on her face. She turned around and she said, "I've already got that. It's on my desk." And you know, that is her efficiency. But God he promises that for those that are his servants, his children, his elect, his called, those who are walking in covenant relationship, that he pays such close attention to you and I, that he's not only efficient, he knows what we need before we ever call upon him. How much does God love you? I mean, think about that. That he knows what we're going to ask for. He's already dispatching the answer before we've ever asked. I think that is a tremendous indication of how much God loves you. I don't know if you've ever experienced that you sowed a seed and the blessing was already dispatched before the seed was sown, but I have, where I was asked by God to sow into a ministry that I didn't have the resources necessarily to sow. I couldn't, you know, it's rarely something that is convenient and affordable, but I did that. I put that into the offering like on a Wednesday night, and when I went to the mailbox on Thursday, there was already provision that made up for that negative hit to the bank balance, if you will. God provided. And one of the most fascinating sermons that I ever heard was by our assistant general superintendent of the Assemblies of God, and his name is Alton Garrison. He's an evangelist. And he talked about how when Joseph was sold into prison by his or sold into slavery by his brothers, that if you look at the geographic proximities, you would find that the caravan that was on its way to Egypt had to have already departed from their residence. They had already begun the journey to Egypt before Joseph was ever asked by his father to go and check on his brothers. And it's like God had already, and they came from Gilead, by the way, and the thing that was in Gilead that region was known for was a healing balm. And so God had provided healing for Joseph before the wounds of his brother had ever come to pass. And I will tell you this right now, God knows exactly what you are going through. Don't you believe it for a moment when the devil tries to say God's ignoring you, you don't matter to him, you don't care, he doesn't care what happens to you. Don't you believe it for a minute. God says, "It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are still speaking, I will hear." We don't have a large office staff at our church. And so there are times when, and we have a two-story facility, and so there are times when I'm on one level and our office is on the other level, and I hear the answering machine, and the person is leaving the message. And I want you to know that when I hear that, I make a beeline. I start running as fast as I can to get to the phone because I hear that somebody's calling me. And I need to find out who is calling me, who do I need to talk to. And God is eager for us to call upon his name. Sometimes people ask me questions like, why does it take God so long to bring the answer about? And I said, well, humans have a tendency that once we get the answer, we quit talking. We become satisfied. We become content. And I said, the possibility exists that God is focusing, he is desirous of just spending time with you and I. And so I pray that hopefully this weekend we're going to be enjoying the presence of God simply because he's God and we have the opportunity to enjoy his presence. So, by the way, if you forgot that I invited you earlier, I want to invite you one more time. Come out this weekend and let God speak into your life, okay? Verse 25, it describes this. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. What we are talking about here is God is going to take the fallen nature of creation, and he's going to restore it to a peaceful. There is going to be a supernatural change of nature. Wolves do not lie down right next to a lamb. They eat the lamb. That's what happens in this current environment that we're in. They don't lay down there and feed together. The lion doesn't just go around eating grass like an ox. They're biologically constructed in a different manner. Where an ox has the ability to process the nutrients out of that grass, the lion is not so inclined. So what God is describing here in this prophecy that Isaiah gives is a complete reversal of the aggressive, predatory, that's a good word, predatory nature of fallen creation. And he says, I'm going to restore it to a harmonious place. I'm going to change the dynamic so that the serpent is not going to be preying on other things. The lion is not going to be preying on other animals. The wolf is not going to be preying on the lamb. Instead, they're going to be completely and totally changed. That means that for some of these, there's got to be a biological change. There's got to be a nature change. There's got to be a change all the way down into the innate regions of their makeup. So what do you have, what do I have in my life that could benefit from God making our nature over again? Is there too much residue of the fallen nature in a portion of your life? Okay? How about your relationships? Would your relationships be better if God made a nature change to where instead of being self-centered and selfish, we could focus on God and we could focus on other people? What if instead of being so concerned about sexual matters, we were more concerned about spiritual matters? I'm not saying that the sexual matters are wrong. God created that as a gift for husband and wife. But there are too many people who are living and falling prey to temptation in a myriad of different sexual temptations. And I think that we could use some benefit if we would submit that to God and say, God, would you change me so that this no longer has an attraction in my heart or in my life? So, you know, that might be something. Yours might be an addiction or a stronghold. As far as substance abuse, things like that, that God says, you don't need that. If you will allow me, I will be the fulfillment of that area of your life. What is it in your life? Because I don't want to leave the fallen nature in control of any area of my life. It might be your finances. It could be the amount of food that you eat. There's a number of different things. And so I just want to give it to you today as a possibility and say, hey, is there anything that God, by God the Holy Spirit, he's putting his finger on and saying, you know what? I want to change this. And life is going to be better. You see, we had a dog one time that had formerly been a runaway. And that runaway nature, he never got away from it as long as he lived. If he had an opportunity to bolt, he was gone. Now, we provided for that dog wonderfully, but if he got out, he was going to run, and he could run for a long time. You'd look at him and say, I don't know if you can run to the end of the yardstick or not, but once he got outside and he tasted freedom, he just bolted. And the race was on. You had to go get him. But the biggest way that it manifested itself was whenever he ate, I'm not sure he ever tasted his food, because he just scarfed it down because he never knew where his next meal was going to come from when he was living out on the streets. And so I want you to know that God can change your nature. Maybe it's not a negative habit, maybe it's just a lack of trust where you say, you know what, I no longer have to hunt where my next source of provision is going to come from because of this new nature that God has given me. I trust that he feeds the sparrows and he's going to take good care of me as well. That doesn't mean that you and I don't have work to do. You know, my dad says, God has provided for me a lot of times through the years, and the way that he did that was he provided me the opportunity to work and see financial needs being met. The last of the four, so talked about today, the provisions of this new heaven as well. Let's go back over the past 2 days. Prolonged life being restored, dreams being realized, that you have the ability to enjoy work. Your descendants and yourself will be blessed. You will have an amazing relationship with God where communication with him is on a whole new level. The fallen nature will be deposed and your nature will be restored to its God-given purposes that he intended for us all along. And that brings us to the conclusion of Isaiah chapter 65, where it says, they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Do you appreciate the holiness of God? I'm so thankful that God's holy, and I'm thankful that he wants us to be holy because he is holy. And God is the one that makes the declarations and the designation, this is holy. And so he's talking to a people. If you remember back up in verse number 11 of Isaiah chapter 65, he said, but you are those who forsake the Lord, who forget my holy mountain, and you prepare a table and furnish drinks for pagan deities, is what happened. And now he says, but my holy mountain, its nature's never changed. That which God has declared to be holy has never changed. But instead of people forgetting about it and doing violence and abusing and treating as just a regular common thing that which God has declared holy, he says, I'm going to elevate the appreciation that people have for holiness. Holiness, it gets a well-deserved bad rap on occasion because too many times we have, how do I want to say, we've reduced the definition of holiness to a list of rules of do's and don'ts and hairstyles and makeup styles and clothing styles and all sorts of stuff like that. And I will tell you, I believe it's the presence of God that really, really needs to be elevated so that we appreciate the holiness of God. I remember seeing a movie, and I believe it was Back to the Future 3, where Marty McFly goes back in time to one of his former relatives, and they said, "Would you like a glass of water?" And they hand him a glass of water, and it is filled with all sorts of junk. I mean, you couldn't hardly see through it. It was cloudy. It wasn't clear. It was discolored. It had a number of impurities because back in those days, they didn't have the filtration systems. And, you know, I can appreciate that we get to live longer now because we have better water supplies. That's one of the things that our missions program do in third world countries, is we go and we improve their water supply, and we make the church the center of the community for coming to get clean water. Because while they're there getting water, they are also going to get told about the refreshing water that's available in Christ to satisfy our spiritual thirst. If I offered, by the way, in that movie, he turned down that glass of water because he realized that it wasn't what he was accustomed to. And I pray that you and I would have a longing and a desire for the holiness of God. I'm so thankful that my God is not the mean-spirited, punitive God that the world describes him as. I'm thankful that he's holy. I'm thankful that he is not operating irrationally, but he has a plan, and his plans will not be thwarted. I'm thankful that he is not mean-spirited, but that he operates. He's moved with compassion. And so I also want to thank him that he is not susceptible and guilty of the sin nature that that we struggle with, but instead he has the ability, because he is the Holy One of Israel, to give us victory and to restore us in holiness. So I pray that holiness would not be something that causes you to shiver, but it would be a goal to run to. You know what? I need to be more holy because my wife deserves a more holy man. And you need to be more holy because you serve a wonderful God. Be holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. Father, I want to thank you today. I pray, God, that as you go to work in our life, God, that our descendants would experience less of the shortfalls that we have had. God, I pray that we would have an amazing relationship with you, that our prayer life would be reach a whole new level of efficiency and effectiveness. God, I pray that you would change our nature, and God, that we would appreciate that you are the Holy One of Israel. One last time, come tomorrow night and Sunday morning and check out what God has done and is doing at Merit Assembly of God. See you Monday right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Be mad for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion in my soul.